to a father who was a professor and an expert on psychology and neurology, and a mother who was a teacher and also had aristocratic blood. His whole family was quite accomplished, and he grew up in a place where free thoughts and learning were highly valued. Dietrich was, as you might imagine, very intelligent, and he became a Lutheran pastor. Even before Hitler came to power, he realized the dangers of the Nazi Party. He also saw that the church of his day was not prepared to address the needs of his times. So he became a part of what was called the confessional or confessing church, which was a uniting of German Protestant churches to resist the Nazis' efforts to gather all churches into a pro-Nazi church. Dietrich was a vocal opponent of the Nazis from the beginning. He said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." To make ecumenical confessions for the confessing church, or connections for the confessing church, and also to stay safe, he bounced back between Germany and London, Switzerland, and he even came to America to study in the early 30s, and then back to America in 1939 so he could avoid being drafted to fight in the Nazi army. His American friends encouraged him to stay here, but the inner turmoil he felt at fleeing his home country was too great, and he decided to return because he thought he would have no right to participate in the reconstruction of his country if he didn't share in its trials and its time of need. He returned to Germany on the last scheduled steamer to cross the Atlantic. Bonhoeffer was involved in a failed plot to assassinate Hitler. He believed it wasn't good enough just to comfort those and advocate for those who were harmed by the Nazis' rule, but the Nazis themselves needed to be stopped. He said, "If I sit next to a madman as he drives a car into a group of innocent bystanders, I can't, as a Christian, simply wait for the catastrophe, then comfort the wounded and bury the dead. I must try to wrestle the steering wheel out of the hands of the driver." For his role in this assassination attempt, he was imprisoned and then hanged. And this happened on April 9th, which is why we're talking about him today. It was just 2 weeks before the Allied forces liberated the camp where he was held. And as he was taken away, after he was leading a church service, actually, he was taken away, he is quoted as saying, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life," which mirrors something he wrote in one of his famous books, The Cost of Discipleship. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. If Dietrich had just stayed in America, he would not have suffered or been killed, but he never regretted that decision. Today, on Palm Sunday, we mark the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, a place whose leaders were crooked and who were looking to take his life. He came there knowing it was his final destination. And while the people cheered his arrival, as we know, soon they will be calling for his life. Jesus knew he was God's son, and he knew he was going to die. All eyes were on him, but he wasn't in the authorities' possession yet. Instead of seizing that moment, though, to promote his own power and show off his might, Jesus comes riding in on a donkey and a young colt. A donkey is hardly a symbol of leadership or power. Jesus seems to have no understanding of rank. He is not a very good PR person. A young colt is more like an agricultural tool, not a weapon of power or of war. It's like Jesus chooses a tractor instead of a tank to ride into the greatest battle of his life. And as he rides in, the crowd shouts praises of Hosanna. But crowds are fickle, and we are fickle too. We are happy to cheer someone on one day and then forget about them the next, or worse, if they make a mistake, to completely turn on them. Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you've had to take a hit for standing for something you believe in. Maybe someone didn't like the way you dressed or the car you or your parents drove. I remember being very embarrassed by some of my parents' cars. Or maybe someone didn't like something you said or did. Maybe they thought it was wrong, and maybe it was. But right or wrong, our world has a way of turning on a dime. And right or wrong, following the path to the cross with Jesus doesn't always win us fans. This is the cost of discipleship. Following Jesus isn't easy. And here's how Bonhoeffer put it. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. What he's talking about is our faith really true faith if it doesn't ask anything of us? On the other hand of this, of course, is what Bonhoeffer called costly grace. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, a door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It's costly because it costs us our life, and it's grace because it gives us the only true life. It's costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it's costly because it cost God the life of his Son. And that which has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. We began Lent back on March 1st, searching our hearts for sin and returning them to God. We've walked closer with the Lord through prayer, through our Wednesday worship, through special devotional time, and through special giving to our personal care kits, which you guys have given so generously to. And now we're in the home stretch of Lent and Holy Week. It's a time for us to look inside once again and to consider what following Christ really costs us in our lives. If we don't have much of an answer, then we know whether we're falling into the cheap grace or costly grace category. But wherever we fall isn't really what matters for us going forward. Going forward is the time for us to put it all on the line for Jesus. If we see an injustice in the world, speak out against it. Donate to the relief effort in Syria. Call your representatives with your thoughts. Speak up for the person at your work who maybe gets treated poorly. Be kind to the person who drives you bonkers. Stick your neck out in some way to help somebody, as Jesus would want you to do. And if you suffer for it, you're in good company. Bonhoeffer also said, "The deep meaning of the cross of Christ is that there's no suffering on earth that's not borne by God." If you feel suffering in your life, remember that you do not go through it alone. Christ bears it with you. As you prepare for his resurrection, give thanks for the suffering he endured on our behalf to lighten our loads, to forgive our sins. And remember these words from Bonhoeffer. "I am sure of God's hand and guidance. You must never doubt that I am thankful and glad to go the way which I am being led. My past life is abundantly full of God's mercy, and above all sin stands the forgiving love of the crucified." In all that you go through, the crucified Christ's love goes with you, and he will lead your way.